Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Living with pain can cause depression, overeating, anxiety, loss of sleep, and low quality of life. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposome technology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It contains powerful antioxidant properties and plant-based curcumin used to possibly reduce inflammation and block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com. That's future, P-H-A-R-M. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're talking to a sociologist and food behaviorist. She's a food educator, and she's all about what's called sensory-based food education. What's up with that? We're going to find out about it in this segment. And Dina, you sent me a very intriguing package. It's nicely put together. It's a little backpack, bright red. It's called the Super Food Explorer Kit. So tell us what that's all about, because it's got like interesting things in it. It's got like little droppers, and it has a little magnifying glass and a discovery notebook. How do parents take kids on a little voyage through food experience?
a little sensory exploration trip. The Superfood Explorer Kit came out of all the work that I've been doing with parents and educators and pediatricians for years, where I would recommend that we switch the conversation from trying to get kids to eat food to teaching them how to explore food. And I would recommend that parents do some of the exercises that I include in the kit, which I'll talk about in a second. But what I found is that everyone got excited about the idea of the kit, but nobody was able to sort of create their own at home. And so I decided to put it together. And the whole point of this kit is to teach kids that they can explore in a fun way, right, with all of their senses. And so some kids are only ready to look through the magnifying glass at something, and some other kid might need to use the tweezers to pick something up. But what we find is that when we reassure children that they are not going to have to eat something, then, and when they really believe you, they have to believe you. So if you just come home and you've been struggling with your kids for 2 years and you say, okay, you don't have to eat this, they're probably not going to believe
you. It's like, we're going to call a truce. It's like, yeah, it's like trust, but verify.
Yeah. So you might have to have a little conversation where you say, I know it's been rough and I'm really sorry and we're not going to do that anymore. You know, you have to lay the groundwork. Let's say you've had that conversation, your kids understand that what you're going to be doing now is exploring food, then they can start getting their natural curiosity gets engaged. And I'm thinking about a little girl, that I was working with one time. We were doing a promotional video shoot for this, and I, showed her an avocado. And the first thing that we did was we looked at the outside of the avocado and we looked at how bumpy it was, and we looked inside and we felt the pit. We never really did any eating of the avocado, but after a few minutes, she took a tentative taste, and her mom had said afterwards, like, I've tried to get her to eat avocado so many times, but it never occurred to me to give her the whole avocado to look at and to explore. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the kit focuses on. And it has a workbook that takes really parents through different ways of exploring foods, because we can just describe something, but we can rate it, we can rank it. You know, there are lots of different ways of going about this. And what I try to tell parents is that you have to think about the weirdest thing you've ever eaten, because that will help you understand what kids are going through every time we give them something new. And we have a tendency to say, this is a kiwi. It's good. Do you want to taste it? Mm-hmm. And can you imagine, I just want to say, you're at a restaurant, you're looking at the menu, and there's a dish on the menu that you don't know what it is. A lot of times this happens with fish. Like, you know it's fish, but you don't really know what kind of fish. And you say to the waiter, like, well, what is this? And the waiter goes, it's good. Do you want to try it? you get a little irritated because you were hoping you'd start saying things like, well, is it a thick, steaky fish, or is it a fillet? Is it a white fish? Is it a pungent fish? You'd start asking sensory questions.
And what's it like? Give me an analogy. You know, it's, you know, tastes like chicken or whatever.
That's right. And I have to tell you, like, so lately, when people say to me, like, what's the weirdest thing I've ever eaten? I was traveling in Africa a couple of years ago, and I was at a market, and someone offered me fried crickets.
Yep.
Had that. Been there, done that. Crickets,
yeah, that's that's a Mexican thing. It goes well with tequila.
Well, and then there's that worm thing when you're talking about tequila, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, what happened for me was I decided I was going to do it, but I was really nervous because I didn't have anything to fall back on. Like, what was it going to be like? Was I going to gag? Was I going to throw up? Was I going to be, you know, and so I did what, you know, any person I know would do. Like, I let my husband go first.
Right.
But then I was able to say to him, well, what was it like? And he was able to describe it for me. Mm-hmm. And lately I've been traveling with edible insects because I just find if you offer an edible insect to a person, an adult, they 9 out of 10 times they're going to say, I'm good. I just ate. Mm-hmm. But then if you say, hey, do you want to listen to it? When I break it to see whether it's snappy, then they'll go like, yeah, hey, I'd like to do that. Or you say, give it a sniff. And then they're much more willing to do it. And then I say, package that feeling. That's what your kids feel every darn day.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's that alien. I mean, that's an interesting, way of, conveying the novelty of the food.
Every time. I've done a lot of traveling in my life, and, you know, sometimes you're in a culture where every single day you're eating something new, and after, like, I don't know, it doesn't take that many days before you say, I want some comfort food. You either say, I want something from home, like, whatever, I want a sandwich.
Bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah. Or you say, you know what, I'm tired of new foods for a couple days. I want to eat the thing I ate yesterday because I already know what it's like. Mm-hmm. And that's what kids are doing.
Yeah, that's good. Practical considerations here. The holidays are murder. Valentine's Day, Christmas, Halloween, Easter. They all seem to revolve around candy. So, happens when your kid says, but all the other kids get to eat that or whatever, you know?
Okay, well, you just engaged my parent who says inside me, like, well, every family is different, which my daughter is sick and tired of hearing.
Right.
But I want to say, let's talk about that candy, and let's talk about the treats and all of the Thanksgiving pies and all that kind of stuff. So on one hand, the candy and the crap that kids are eating all year long are way more important than what they eat on a given holiday, even if they gorge on a particular holiday. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, most kids are eating candy every single day, or they're eating cookies or cakes or cupcakes every single day. Mm-hmm. So if you want to clean up your kids' diet, the most important way to do it is to teach them how to fit sweets and treats into their diet on a regular Tuesday in a way that works. And that's to think about the habit proportion, which is really about ratios. And are you eating the healthiest food most frequently? And kids will not learn this by osmosis. We have to actually talk to them about, you can have one treat, or you know, a day or every other day or whatever your family's going to do. So
should it be a negotiation? Is that appropriate to say, okay, well, you have your choice. You can either have, mini donut, or you can have a cookie, but you can't have both.
Yes. I'm a real big believer in letting kids know like how, what's the volume of sweets and treats they can have on a daily or weekly basis. That's one thing. Second of all, being very clear about what constitutes a sweet or a treat. So when my daughter was little, for instance, sugary yogurt was like ice cream. It was considered a treat. And so she had to factor that in. Like mm-hmm. she could eat plain yogurt as a meal, you right. know, or mm-hmm. snack. Mm-hmm. But, so you have to be clear about how many sweets and treats. You have to be clear about what constitutes a sweet and treat. And then I would let your kids start learning how to make choices. And parents get a little nervous here because they say, well, you know, if I let my kid go at it, he'll eat all of whatever. But first of all, if that happens, that's just a learning opportunity. Second of all, you can't control it in the hopes that that will just solve the problem, because kids are navigating the food world all the time and you want to give them the skills. And so if they get it wrong today, it's just be gentle and work towards getting it right tomorrow. So I'm a big fan of what I call a treat drawer, where we put the sweets and treats in access to the kids, and they're allowed to have it when whatever the, you know, the rule is in your family, with the caveat that small children, first of all, can't remember from time to time. So you need a visual marker, like you put a magnet on the fridge or take it off when they've had their treat, or you give them a treat ticket that they turn in when they want to have a treat. We don't control when they have it. So if they want to have it first thing in the day, then they have it first thing in the day.
It gives them some discretion. Yeah.
It does. But also, if they have it first thing in the day, it gives us the teaching opportunity to say, you know, this afternoon we ended up at a play date and there was ice cream, but you'd already had your treat earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. And I know you didn't want to be the only kid, so I let you have the ice cream too. But how are we going to solve this problem tomorrow?
It's teaching deferred gratification.
Exactly. So they're not going to get it right all the time, but it's engaging in teaching rather than controlling. So mm-hmm. that's one thing I want to say about holiday sweets and treats. The other thing I want to say is that we need to start at very early age teaching children how to plan. It's the same thing about delayed gratification. Plan for the holidays. So you know that Halloween is coming up, or you know that Thanksgiving's coming up, or even you know a trip to grandma's is coming up on a particular day. Don't assume your kids know. Don't assume your kids know what will be there, what kinds of foods will be there. So you need to talk to them about that. And then talk about how do we have a couple of days before and a couple of days after where maybe we eat a little better. Kids will willingly get on board with that if you use this as a teaching model. Mm-hmm. And then we have to think about how they should handle the food in the event. So a lot of times, for instance, at Halloween, parents will complain that their kids are opening up candy and taking a single bite and then opening up another candy and taking a single bite. Right. And they think of that as something that they should prevent. And I want to say, like, man, that is the best thing that I've ever heard.
Right. Yeah.
Because what?
That's real portion control.
Not only that it's portion control, think about it. You're 5 years old. You have never seen 85% of the candy that is now in your bag. And you have got no idea what it tastes like. And all you want to do is experiment and see what it tastes like. This is new food exploration at its best.
Mm-hmm.
We like to not think of it as new food exploration because it's candy. But new candy is new food. And a child who will take a bite and put it down is trying new foods. And I'm a big believer in that. And I'm also a big believer, especially at Halloween, which is eat the candy you love, not the candy that's in front of you, right? So testing to find the candy that you really mm-hmm. love mm-hmm. is magnificent.
What about overly stringent parents? You know, a lot of our listeners are very into super clean diets. You know, after all, the theme of this program is intelligent medicine. They're on a virtual jihad against sugar and artificial ingredients. Can that actually backfire if you're a parent or a grandparent?
I can't say yes loudly enough.
Okay.
Or big enough. You know, I'm skywriting yes, you know, right now from an airplane. Here's the thing. I have a very clean eating family, and I understand. But the larger point here is that from the get-go, children, we live in this toxic food world, mm-hmm. right? It's just bombarding us, not mm-hmm. just the food, but the advertising and the culture.
That's a term coined, I think, by Marion Nestle, who's
yes.
a top nutritionist and echoed by other top nutritionists. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's awful. And all those foods that are called child-friendly are, you know, offenders in the worst way. But your children are going to live in that world whether you like it or not. And to start teaching them the skills that they'll need to navigate it is almost the most important thing I can think of. It's critical, because you might make super duper healthy, you know, amazing muffins. But if you teach your children to have a muffin habit, they're going to go out in the world and eat regular muffins. Mm-hmm. And if you don't teach them how to have sweets and treats, but while also eating their fruits and vegetables, etc., then they're going to go out and eat the forbidden fruit. Now, I know there are parents out there who say, I grew up in a home where there was no sugar, and now I can't stand sugar. And so it is true that that sometimes happens. But the research shows it's much more likely to happen yep. the other way. Yep. And mm-hmm. so that's a gamble. And you have to ask yourself, would you rather gamble? Or I would recommend just doing what parents do best, which is teach your kids how to be prepared for the real world.
And what about sugary foods as a reward, or food as a pacifier? If you pick up your toys, I'll give you that chocolate brownie.
You know what I'm going to say here.
Yeah, I'm just throwing you a high hanging curveball for you to hit out of the park.
Right, exactly. It's so easy to use food as reward. And I just want to say, I am as susceptible to that as the next parent, you know. And I have been known, and I have copped to this on my blog. It's not about nutrition, you know. My daughter had a bad day. She's a teenager, but, you know, she had a bad day and I couldn't help myself. I brought her a hot chocolate, that kind of thing. What we don't want to do is teach our kids to equate love with food or mm-hmm. success with food. We mm-hmm. want to pretty much try to teach them that food is food. And so I really, really recommend that we try to, this is the same message, is be super conscious of the message and the unintended lessons that we're teaching. So it's so much better. Yes, is it effective? Yes, it's effective to withhold dessert and grant dessert based on your children's behavior and performance. Mm-hmm. But it's not teaching them what they need to know to be healthy eaters for the rest of their lives. And if you're the kind of person who has a bad day and digs into a pint of ice cream, raise your hand. You can't see me, but I'm raising my hand.
Yeah.
That came from a lesson that we learned in childhood. So again, if we want our kids to be healthy eaters, we have to think about the lessons that we're teaching them.
All very, very practical advice. And you can find more of that practical advice on your website, which is, let me check it out here. It's notaboutnutrition.com, which is an interesting moniker for someone who is all about nutrition, but a healthy attitude towards eating.
About habits, you know, teaching habits, the behavior that translates nutrition information into eating patterns.
And finally, on a broader level, you know, you are an influential voice within the nutrition community. What would you like to see food manufacturers and health policy experts do that they're not doing now?
Well, really, one of the things that I would love to see is for pediatricians to move away from what I call the go slow weaning approach, which is, you know, you eat the food the same food for 3 or 4 days to see if there's going to be an allergic reaction, and then move on to the next food for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, because that's a new popular idea, is that you have to be sort of allergy-proofed. So they deliberate exposure to different things like peanuts and whatever. The opposite of what we used to say like a couple of years ago was like, oh, you know, stay away from those things. Now it's like deliberately promote those foods in sequence, right?
Right. Well, now there's this idea that, you can be exposed to potentially allergenic foods. But here's the larger reason why I would like to see pediatricians make that big change, is because when it's pee week, I feel a lot of pressure to get peas into my kids. Mm-hmm. And I start to apply pressure and to the kids, and pressure is always going to be the problem. And so in cultures where they don't have this go slow weaning approach, if my child rejects peas today, I just pick up another vegetable and we go for that. So the eliminating the pressure is the number one reason. But the number two reason is that it starts what I call the rotation rule right from the beginning, which is teaching our kids to eat a variety of foods. And there's just nothing that we can do that's more important than teaching, you know, acceptance of a wide variety of flavors and textures, etc. And so that's the number one thing that I would like to see pediatricians change in what they recommend to children. The second thing I'd like to see is I would love for us to get rid of this category of food called child friendly. It's decidedly unfriendly, first of all. It's ruining your kids' habits.
Kids' menus, kids' little, you know, lunch packs that they can put in their lunchbox, that whole deal, right?
Yes, but even more so. We do not need the aisle in the grocery store that has toddler snacks and toddler meals and stuff like that. When your child is old enough to eat and not potentially, you know, a choking hazard kind of, you know, situation, they should be eating regular food. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we need child-friendly food is this idea that they have fundamentally different needs, fundamentally different taste preferences, but it backfires in this way. It teaches children that regular food is not for them. Mm-hmm. And how many kids have I heard about who say, I'll eat that when I'm a grown-up, you know, because I eat child-friendly foods. Mm-hmm. So those are the things I'd like to see changed.
Great stuff. Okay, well, you know, once again, I'll mention the resources. It's notaboutnutrition.com. You can find out about the book, which is It's Not About the Broccoli. Catchy titles. Dina has a podcast, which she's temporarily on a hiatus with, but I think some of the podcasts are up there. A blog where she answers practical questions, such as some of the ones we've answered today. And there's lots of resources there. And also, you can order a Food Explorer kit, which is a pretty cool way to get kids to think about food in a slightly different way, not about the struggle, because, you know, it's a physics principle. For every reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If you try to force the issue, you're going to get some blowback, right?
Exactly. I'd like to also tell your listeners that I do free 30-minute consultations.
That's superb. That is superb, because some people, I think, will need a little intervention, shall we say?
Well, they like to talk, you know, person to person instead of try and figure it out for themselves, and I get it. So on my website, you can sign up for a free 30-minute consultation, and we can have a chat.
Well, that's excellent. Okay, once again, it's notaboutnutrition.com. And Dr. Dina Rose, congratulations on your pioneering work. And, you know, I just really want to get the word out, because we really need to revolutionize the way that we approach kids eating. And it's not just about kids eating. It's a national priority, because I think that's really getting to the bottom of our food problem in this country. And obesity, insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, and all the degenerative diseases that are associated with that are rampant. We got to start early, otherwise we're going to have a catastrophe on our hands.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I'm inviting you to browse my online supplement dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. My specially curated professional-grade supplements are fulfilled via the FullScript network. FullScript is the safest and most convenient way to purchase my medical-grade supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and offers world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free FullScript account. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.